How are you today, Jim?
I'm good, fellas. First of all, congratulations to all the great people up there in Canada for winning the championship. That's really cool. You know, Toronto was always one of my favorite places when I played for the Orioles to come into. So I'm very, very happy for all the Torontoans and the Canadians to get a championship up there.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, you guys moved farther away from one. Mm. Not as far as we've moved away from one, but definitely moving away from championships, the both of us together.
So Jim, what is, because I'm fascinated what Sam Presti has done here, and I would argue has had to do here. What is the general mood of the Oklahoma City sports fan, the Thunder fan, today?
Well, you know, it's a little bit different down here, fellas, because, you know, 11 years ago, there was no NBA, and this was such a college area. And they've learned, I mean, most of them here have learned about what pro sports are about, but there are still some that it blows their mind a little bit. And they have unfortunately seen the business side of it here lately. I think that there's a bunch of fans that understand, okay, we're going to get bad and we're going to try to get, you know, get as many young players as we can and try to get back to being good. There's a lot of people, by the way, including me, who's been around the NBA a long time, who think that it's incredible that they basically have had four Hall of Famers over the past 8 years. And even though they didn't all play together, and then you throw in some of the other moves they made with Ibaka and guys like that, and really never won anything, that it's kind of sad that it never worked out for him. So let's put it this way. There's lots of different people feeling lots of different ways. And I would hope that although we loved Chris Paul when he was here, when he first came after Katrina and everything, he was just the best ever. I don't think anybody wants Chris Paul to stay here. So I think we have to see what the next move is going to be. Maybe the Thunder are going to have like 30 picks in about a 10-year period. We'll see.
They buy him out? Is that what they're going to do, or do you think? I mean, he's 34 going on 35. Do you flip him? Like, I don't really know what the value for Chris Paul is at this point.
It's a great question. Although I will tell you this: last year at this time, fellas, Carmelo Anthony was the worst contract in the entire NBA, and they unloaded him somehow. Now they have Chris Paul, who's the worst contract in the NBA. I guess there's some talk about Miami possibly wanting to do something with him. I don't know the answer. I just know that they don't want him to play for the Thunder anymore. Nothing against him, but they don't want him here. So they'll try to do something with him, I'm sure.
What is your sense, and we're with Jim Traber from Oklahoma City, what is your sense of how it all played out from general manager Sam Presti's perspective he found out that Kawhi was heavily involved and Paul George was going to fly the coop one way or the other?
Well, I think that, you know, Sam Presti is a smart dude. And he is, I mean, I've never seen a human being that can, like, put together three paragraphs, and I barely understand any of the words that he's saying, you know. But he's really good at what he does. I personally think that the Thunder way, you know, there's this whole thing around here called the Thunder way, which basically they took from San Antonio. I don't think it's worked. Matter of fact, believe it or not, fellas, a year ago after the season, I called for Sam Presti's job. I mean, I really did. Many, many people thought I was ridiculous, but I just didn't think it was going in the right direction. Now, do I think the guy is not good at what he does? No, but sometimes you know how it is, fellas. It just doesn't work. And but I do think that this was a total blindside. The one thing he had going for him, remember something about you guys know this, because you guys have dealt with it with many trades. When you're involved in a trade situation, the most important part about it is the team you're dealing with, what situation are they in? You know, like how desperate are they? The Clippers fellas were desperate, okay, because they wanted Kawhi Leonard, and they knew the only way they were getting him is if they got Paul George. So what did they do? I'm sure that negotiation, Sam Presti was like, okay, how about you give me 2023 number one? Okay. How about you give me 2024 number one? Okay. How about you give me 2026 number one? Because they knew they had to do it. Now, after that was done, it changed, and they were on the other side with Westbrook. You know, I saw something today, and I don't know if this is totally true, but I guess Ramona Shelburne from ESPN is reporting that
they gave the ability to Russell Westbrook to pick between Houston and Miami. This has been a big argument on my radio show. It blows my mind, this loyalty thing. I think loyalty in life is great, but I think in sports, I think it hurts you. But there's a lot of people, oh, you got to make Russell Westbrook happy. Really? So $171 million over the next 4 years and letting him do whatever the heck he wanted to do in Oklahoma City wasn't enough? So if it's true that they had a better deal with Houston, and I mean, excuse me, with Miami, and they send him to Houston, I think that's pathetic, fellas. I'm sorry. You want to name a street after him. You want to name the practice facility after him. Do whatever you want to do, but you got to try to make your team as good as it is. And I think that there's talk that maybe they could have had a better deal in Miami. So we'll find out over the next couple of days. But I think Sam Presti did about as good as he possibly could to this point.
Well, I look at it, Jim, this way. And again, God only knows how it's going to play out. And I doubt it does a Thunder fan any good today. But when you look at the pick haul that they got from the Clippers, when you look at the 2024 and 2026 first-round picks they got from the Rockets, I mean, the Rockets' core, as we know it to be today, centered around Harden and Westbrook, is not going to be that in 5 years. And if it is, they're not going to be nearly as good as they will be this coming season. It doesn't do a Thunder fan any good today, but you can see the mapping out. And from my 1,000 yards or longer away point of view, it looks to me like Sam Presti, whether he's here or not 5 years from now, has set this organization up as best he can in difficult circumstances for future success. Because if the Rockets suck, or Kawhi and George are two and done in Los Angeles and the Clippers go into the tank, there are going to be some reasonably high draft picks available to that Oklahoma City franchise in the years ahead.
Well, I think everything you just said is well said. I mean, I can't disagree with anything you said. The problem you have is that no matter who you are, even someone like yourself who just said everything right on the money, I mean, how do we know what the heck a 2024 pick is going to be? And, you know, people always argue with me about, well, you can't, it's hard to get things in the 20s in the draft. Well, what if all these picks from the Clippers are all in the 20s? Now, you're right. It is a two-year window with the Clippers. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But they also have the richest owner. They've decided that they're going to get after it. So you think they may stay together. But everything you said is right. It could work out really, really well. But I think that patience is a tough word for many of us, by the way. And I'm one of those people. And so we'll just have to see down the road what happens. The other problem is, fellas, they haven't done very good drafting lately. I mean, they got a bunch of young dudes that are average at best. So as they're doing this, they need to start drafting some better young players. You know, there's luck involved. I mean, don't forget Ibaka was a second-round pick, guys. I mean, you know, that's luck. It's skill, too, of finding him, but you got to get a little bit lucky, too. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. If we're all doing radio, God willing, in 5 years, fellas, it'll be really, really interesting to not only talk about your Toronto guys, but also to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder and see if they're any good or not. But this is what I do know. Four Hall of Famers. Real quick, do yourself 10 minutes of research. Find how many teams in the history of the NBA have had four Hall of Famers play for them in a period of 8 years, and you'll find out that it's on one hand. One hand.
Yeah.
So just it's a tough deal.
I'm thinking Golden State is in that conversation potentially right now.
Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boston. You know, the obviously the Lakers. I mean, you know, the big ones. But.
Right.
That's what the Thunder have had, and it just didn't, you know, and they had injuries and things, but that's the way life is, you know? So I think that Toronto, all the Toronto fans and everybody's all fired up, but I think they also believe that if Golden State was totally healthy, it might have been a little bit different. So you just never know what can happen from day to day, and I don't know. Russell Westbrook, they should retire his number right away. They should do anything they want possible for him. But I'm anxious to watch Gilgeous Alexander. I mean, I think he's a really, really good player. And I think if they can build around him, you never know what can happen over the next 3 or 4 years.
Hey, Trabs, it's Tim Leeper here. How does this trade affect Houston? And from your standpoint, what does it do for them postseason time this year?
Well, this will be the argument that people are going to disagree with me on, because I don't think they're going anywhere. I mean, I have argued for years about Russell Westbrook and what Russell Westbrook is. He's the greatest athlete I've ever seen play basketball, and I truly believe that. But Russell Westbrook, to me, is not a guy that you say, I'm bringing him in, and he's going to be the guy that changes this team to put you over the level.
He's just not that guy. And now you're taking the worst three-point shooter in the entire league, and you're putting him with a coach who says, shoot whenever you want. Well, he shoots whenever he wants in Oklahoma City. Now he gets to shoot even more. Now, do I think that they're a top five team in the West? Sure, I do. But I don't think they're winning anything. I think that they'll play together a little bit better. Chris Paul at times would realize, hey, I'll be the facilitator and do it. Russell Westbrook, people think, well, he averages a triple-double, and he passes well, and he does. But I'm going to tell you something, fellas. If you watch him every single day, he's a pretty selfish basketball player. I know that sounds crazy when you average 10 assists a game, but the guy does what he wants to do. And I just can't see anybody in Houston going, hey, Russ, it's time for you after 11 years to start doing this and this and this. So I think that they'll score like crazy. I think that Harden will be great. He'll set up some more because Russell will set him up some more. But there'll be a team that loses to me probably in like the second round. I think that's probably about what they're about.
So, Jim, as we sit here today, understanding, of course, more moves could be made, but based off of what we know, give me your top 4 or 5 from 1-5 ranked in the Western Conference heading into next season.
Well, the one team that I love that nobody talks about is Utah. I mean, I love what Utah did. Now, it could be a little bit harder to get to the highest level for them. I would go number one Clippers. I mean, I'm sorry. Will there be a better defensive trio than Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Patrick Beverley? I mean, I don't know if you're going to want to dribble the ball, fellas. I mean, how are you going to dribble? I mean, they're just – I got to watch Paul George for 2 years. That dude is unbelievable with his hands and everything. And so, and then of course they got, you know, the sixth man of the year, the best of all time. So I think number one for me is the Clippers. I would probably lean a little bit towards the Lakers too, but not much over Utah and not much over Denver. I mean, I kind of like what Denver did. Don't sleep on Denver with bringing in Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant had a great year for the Thunder this year. He will help them. He does so many things for a team that you just don't really realize, kind of like what Ibaka did in the playoffs for you guys. You know, Ibaka did not have the greatest of years, but boy, I'll tell you what, fellas, he did some nice things for you, you know, in the finals, and he's just a guy that knows how to play the game. Jeremy Grant does those things too. So if I picked it, I would go Clippers 1, Lakers barely over Utah, and then I would probably go Denver 4, and then probably Houston 5. But I'm going to tell you now, Sacramento's better. Dallas is better. There's a bunch of teams in the West that you don't want to play. Unfortunately, the Thunder's not one of them. The Thunder are one of the ones that are going to be dropping down, and we'll see how low they drop, and we'll see what they can do draft-wise. But the West will be fun. The East will be fun, too. I just don't know who the heck's going to – I like Philadelphia in the East, but – they're so psychotic, and you got a point guard that can't make a three-footer. That kind of hurts you too. So, but anyway, I think probably the Clippers, with the owner and Jerry West and obviously a really, really good coach, I probably have to pick them number one.
Now, I noticed you didn't mention Golden State. With Durant being gone now, has it changed that team that much?
I think that they're going to be at the bottom of the playoffs, and I think you're not going to want to play them if Klay Thompson gets healthy. I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they'll probably be like 6, 7, 8 seed. But I just don't know if they're going to have enough, man. I just think the West is so good. I really do. I'm anxious to see, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis. I actually thought the Lakers did a pretty nice job of picking up players after they sat there and waited and waited and waited for Kawhi. I thought they did a nice job of building around. So I just think Golden State's just not going to have enough. But I think I'm not counting Golden State out of the playoffs with that coach. And obviously, and I'll tell you this, guys, 3 years ago, July 4th, Kevin Durant comes out and says he's leaving. Everybody around here, obviously, is just going crazy. I came on the next day on the radio and I said, Russell Westbrook will win the MVP. The next day, July 5th, I said he will win the MVP. I'm telling you right now, Steph Curry will win the MVP this year. Steph Curry's going to average about 33 a game. It's going to be an incredible thing to watch. He'll do exactly what Westbrook did 3 years ago. He'll carry his team to the playoffs, and it'll be Steph Curry winning another MVP. Just to give you a little nugget there. And when I'm wrong, you can call me back. Or if I'm right, you can call me back. Usually people never call me when I'm right. So do it either way, okay, guys?